so I said it earlier to the little ones, and so I say it to you. Happy New Year, everyone. It is the beginning of Advent, and as you have noticed, we have begun to celebrate our new church year. So far in worship, we have celebrated by lighting the Advent candle, discussing what Advent means. We are in a season of preparation for the arrival of the Christ child. We are in a season of waiting and watching. We are in a season of expectancy and anticipation for the newness of life that is ushered in as we enter refreshed and renewed relationship with Jesus, our long-awaited Messiah. It is a season where people foretell, experience, and testify to the miraculous movements of our forever faithful God in the world. This all happens as we inch day by day towards the wonderful story of the first Christmas. We join with believers from around the world on a spiritual journey to Bethlehem, or Bethlehem, which literally in Hebrew means the city of bread, where we all encounter the bread of life, where we discover anew the sustenance for our very existence as Christians. But to be clear, this is a journey, and we are not yet at Christmas. We are entering the stillness of the night. And while we know that joy indeed comes in the morning time, we are just stepping into the discomfort and darkness, where we reflect on times of distress and those long nights of the soul. And while I personally have no desire to cause you discomfort, we do not truly grasp the grace and the joy of the gift without understanding the depth of the need, the depth of darkness, the depth of hopelessness for the people of God prior to the Christ child's arrival. Hope enters and matters most in the face of suffering. Amen. Suffering, weariness, and desperation are when hope are everything. And in our gospel text, Jesus is drawing us a picture of the depth of darkness in the world that will happen before he returns in the fullness of his glory. Jesus said, but in those days, after that suffering, this suffering he is referring to is a suffering so bad that it is woeful to be pregnant. It is woeful to have an infant. It is suffering so bad that people will run up to the top of the mountains and sit on the housetops just to get away from it all. This is explained in the preceding passage, but in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. This is a deep darkness. Amen. Darkened sun, moons not shining, stars falling from the sky, heavenly powers shaking. This is not good, because these are for us symbols of light and life and hope itself. What does it mean to us when our lights and our hopes are dimmed and nearly extinguished? It does mean it's scary. We can't understand the power of light without a sense of the disorientation possible in the darkness. I remember on a trip to the Holy Land experiencing the darkest night of my life. We were going on a late night journeying trek. This meant we were leaving our lodgings at 8 p.m. to be trekking by foot and by camel across mountainous terrain throughout the whole of the night. I cannot think of a time where I was visually in a darker place. Far away from any city lights, there were no headlights to illuminate the path before us. It was a very dark place, and for hours I was unable to see my hand in front of my face, and rather quickly it became even darker emotionally and physically, as the heartache of missing my husband and daughter and being more than a little scared that I would not be able to physically make this journey, well, it felt dark. And it got worse as the pain of riding a camel could be imagined to be. I was at that moment feeling broken, and hope was draining rather quickly. Most of us have had dark times, maybe not visually dark like a Middle Eastern wilderness night, but darkness has crept in before. It might have been for you emotionally, financially, psychologically, or spiritually. And if you haven't had any experience with dark, don't worry, just keep living. Because undoubtedly there will be times of weariness and disorientation, uncertainty and fear, where the only solution is hope. As we celebrate the power of hope, our scripture offers us ways to remain awake, to alert our souls of the truth that sometimes our eyes can't see. Hope is implicit in our Isaiah passage. The passage is a communal prayer of a desperate people. The Israelites have been exiled and mistreated by their captors. They have been disenfranchised and are heartbroken, and they are in the darkness of night, and they are praying. Hope for believers in God starts and ends with communication with God. Amen. The Israelites are hopeful that God can act just like God has already acted in the past. They know that God has might and power in every situation. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes the water to boil, to make your name known amongst your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence when you did awesome things that we did not expect. Hope comes in testifying to how God has moved in the past and claiming that God is in control in the present as we wait and we watch. As we listen expectantly for how God is calling us to move in the future. As beings created by God with divine purpose, we must rely on God's character in the darkness, not our own human broken devices and schemes. The Israelites prayed, "Oh, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, O Lord, that we are all your people. Now consider that we are all your people." What does it mean today to consider that we are all God's people? The events of Ferguson, Missouri this week showed that as a country, we are like the Israelites. We continue to live in times of suffering and darkness. Amen. Racism, hate, death, fear, division, violence, darkness, suffering, weariness, darkness, suffering, weariness. I find myself wanting to curl up and cry because of the darkness, suffering, and weariness. And if you, like me in these moments, feel that triggering of memories of other injustices rush to your mind, then you too may know that moment or longer where hope feels threatened. Amen. It feels like hope, that flame, that light is nearly extinguished. And so, as the people of God, we do what the Israelites do. We cry out, Then with our souls, we pray with hope against hope, expecting God to show up. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. Fix it, Lord. We need you, Lord. But sometimes, those really dark times, it's even hard to pray that, amen? As I journeyed in the dark, that feeling of hopelessness on that Middle Eastern rocky road began to creep into my mind, and I realized I needed help. And so, God sent a fellow journeyer. And despite him not needing to slow down, because he could easily continue without me, this new brother, and now I don't expect for Alan to be anything less than a lifelong friend. He simply said, I'm not going to leave you. When you get there, I will get there. We will travel through this darkness together. And we did. And after 8 hours of traveling nearly 1,000 steep steps, we made it to the top of Mount Sinai just in time to see the sunrise. The depth of darkness and the light of an undarkened sun, that moment still gives me hope. In this Advent season, you are invited to renew your personal commitment to prayer, to praying, to journeying with each other, to reflecting on how God has moved as we watch and wait to see where God is calling us next, as we are called to offer words and actions for the hope and the welfare of all God's people. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray it all. Amen.